Now, if you would turn in your hymnal to Psalm 19, that is page 750 through 751, and we'll read together this particular psalm. I might add, this was my father and Ruby's very favorite psalm, so this is quite an honor for me to get to say it and hear all of you say it too. God bless. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork.
Day to day for his works preached, and night to night for his knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from his feet. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and greater than honey.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can understand what is on their merits? Where do you come from false?
Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable
in your
sight,
O
Lord, my rock
and my
redeemer.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. It can be found on page 552 in your pew Bible. Hear and heed these words of wisdom. Wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares she raises her voice. At the busiest corner she cries out, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded. And because you have ignored all my counsel and will have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hate knowledge and do not choose to fear the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sad with their own device. For waywardness kills the simple, and complacency of the fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 216 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. If you'd like to follow along, that's on page 41 in your New Testament pew Bible. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, first, the irony. This epistle from James, and in many respects several of today's readings, have to do with the power of the tongue and speaking. And here is Daniel Claywitter preaching this sermon for me in my absence, speaking my words from his mouth. It is admittedly a bit awkward, but I appreciate his effort. I have made two changes to the first two verses of James. Not many of you should become preachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who preach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. As a preacher, I make many mistakes, but these mistakes are mine and not Daniel's. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Pastor Will, wherever you are. This morning, I call your attention specifically to this passage of James, because I believe that it has much to remind us and to teach us. James is exploring with us the incredible power of our words. As he observes, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. His illustrations on this point are wonderful. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large, it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. Have you ever ridden a horse and considered how that little piece of metal in the horse's mouth, the bit, allows you to pilot that huge animal? Or take a look at the cover of today's bulletin, the stern of the USS Constellation. Consider how the rudder can so easily redirect a massive sailing vessel. Have you ever been in the stern of a canoe or kayak and used your paddle as a rudder? Then you probably know exactly what James meant. His point is as true today as it was when he wrote those lines in the first century. Your words can have a profound impact on those around you. You really need to consider the fact that no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. If you think this is an exaggeration, I invite you to turn to your own experience. I'll bet you can think back to a sharp word or a biting criticism that you received from someone close to you, someone you love, your mother or your father, perhaps. It may well have happened many years ago, but the fact that you can remember it at all is proof of the power of those words. Can you remember such an occurrence? Think about that nearly universal part of human nature, our tendency to engage in gossip, spreading and enjoying rumors and stories about someone else. Gossip can be particularly harmful, whether or not it's true. But almost everyone seems to engage in it nonetheless. Have you ever heard or spread gossip? Think about the nearly instantaneous impact of people's words when they're sent out on the internet through emails, texting, tweeting, or social networking sites like Facebook. It is now possible to say almost anything to nearly anybody and to virtually everybody with the simple touch of a computer key. And it often happens before the writer has had the chance to fully consider the weight of his or her words or the power of his tongue. Have you ever banged out a reaction to something you read or saw, then sent the message and finally, in hindsight, regretted that you pushed send at all? It is the sad truth in today's electronic society. Gossip and innuendo and criticism, whether true or not, have often caused a young person to commit suicide. Such is the power of the tongue. Is this a modern development in human nature? Not at all. Remember Pythagoras, the Greek mathematician and philosopher? The Pythagorean theorem. In a right triangle where C is the long side and A and B are the other sides, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, you remember, right? Yeah, actually, I don't either, Pastor Will. So how many people did remember? One, two, three, four, about six, seven, eight hands, Pastor Will, when you come back to listen to this message. Anyway, Pythagoras said this: a wound from a tongue is worse than a wound from the sword. The latter affects only the body, the former, the spirit, and the soul. Yes, your words can hurt people, your tongue can cause damage, But the opposite is also true. As James said, with the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Here is some wisdom from Proverbs. Rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. The tongue clearly has the power to hurt, but it also has the power to heal. Here's a great quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. No man has a prosperity so high or firm, but that two or three words can dishearten it. And there is no calamity which right words will not begin to redress. Just as you probably remembered a sharp word or destructive criticism from someone you loved, can you also remember a kind word, a word of healing and support from someone in your past? I hope that you can. I will always remember my father's words from the time I was just a little guy. When I would try my hardest to do something to please him, my dad would say, "Good work, Tiger." And that would always bring a big smile to my face. And if you doubt the power of your tongue to make someone smile, the next time you see someone doing something positive, try that universal statement. Thank you. As you go about your daily routine, you should recognize the potential you have to make someone's day a little brighter. As the prophet Isaiah realized, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word." God has given you that same tongue too. If you truly accept God's unconditional love, if you truly follow Jesus and repent of your sins, then the Holy Spirit will enliven your tongue. God's words will become your words. Just consider the verse from the end of Psalm 19. What would happen if you envisioned God hearing everything you say to other people? "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." My sisters and brothers, given what we know about our sinful human nature, James is probably right. It's probably true that no one can tame the tongue. But just imagine what might happen if you were to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you about the kingdom of God and the transforming love of Jesus Christ. That's called witness. God's word spoken through your tongue might make the difference in someone's life. It can happen. And all God's people said, Amen.